Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, May 3rd. Motorists in the west end of Montrose County need to be aware of an upcoming road project. The Colorado Department of Transportation issued a press release and said that approximately 13 miles of Colorado 145 will be closed next Tuesday, May 9th, from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. Colorado 145 will be closed from its junction with Colorado 62 to just outside of Norwood. Trucks will be transporting girders and other oversized precast concrete members for the current construction of the new Dolores River Bridge at Bedrock. The early morning truck transport was planned to minimize impacts on the traveling public. Trucks will leave Montrose at 12 a.m. on Tuesday, May 9th, and will meet members of the Colorado State Patrol at the junction of Colorado 145 and 62. State Patrol will then close the road to allow for safe passage of the truck convoy to Bedrock. Once the trucks travel past Norwood Hill, the highway will be reopened. The road closure is expected to last approximately 2 hours. The Dolores River Bridge project is located on Colorado 90, about 4 miles east of Bedrock, and 15 miles east of the Utah state line. The new precast concrete bridge structure is expected to be completed later this summer. The new bridge will provide several improvements for the driving public, including wider and higher clearance for oversized vehicles. The project cost is estimated at $3.8 million. In other news from the Colorado Department of Transportation, there were 125 motorcycle fatalities across the state in 2016, a record all-time high. Motorcycle deaths have been on the rise for the past few years, which is why CDOT will launch a campaign during May, which is Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month. The campaign is called The Best Never Stop Training. This campaign demonstrates that no matter how skilled of a motorcycle driver you are, you can always get better. The primary goal of the campaign is to raise awareness about the benefits of and increase enrollment in motorcycle operator safety training courses. 61% of the motorcycle fatalities last year were not wearing a helmet at the time of the crash. The majority of the fatalities in 2016 occurred between the months of May and October. 43% of last year's deaths were 18 to 34 years old. 27% were in the 35 to 54 age range, and 28% were 55 years of age or older. Additional resources for riders, including class information, are available at comotorcyclesafety.com. That's comotorcyclesafety.com. Colorado energy regulators are trying to quell the public's fears after a house built near an oil and gas well exploded, killing two men. The explosion happened in the small community of Firestone, 30 miles north of Denver, where oil and gas wells are common. State officials are still investigating the explosion and don't know what caused it. In our weekly Capitol conversation, Benta Berkland talked to State House reporters about the tragedy and what it could mean for future oil and gas legislation.
We're joined by Peter Marcus, a reporter with ColoradoPolitics.com, and Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. Peter, we still don't know what caused this explosion and the deaths of two men. The home was close to an oil and gas well that was active. Are people jumping the gun here?
Well, that's exactly what I asked Matt Lepore, the state's chief regulator on oil and gas issues. And, you know, we are in speculation mode. They declined to comment on whether there is actual evidence linking the oil and gas industry to this devastating explosion. But at the same time, there's been a series of events that have taken place since. You have Anadarko, the producer out there, shutting down 3,000 of these vertical wells across the state. These wells actually aren't really used that much, so it could have been a PR move for all we know, them shutting it down. That being said, you also have the COGCC summoning the media to a news conference to talk about, you know, the fact that they're going around and checking the environment and making sure that everything is safe and assisting with the investigation to see if it was the industry. I think what it highlights is just the fear that's out there and the anxiety that's out there, and that this is a controversial conversation. And yes, if there is a link here, man, that blows up this conversation big time.
Ed, you've been covering the legislature for about a decade now. Oil and gas issues are controversial every single year, like Peter touched on, whether it's fracking, setback distances from buildings and homes. What does this mean for that debate?
Well, I imagine that it's only going to ramp it up. With less than 2 weeks, frankly, left in the 2017 session, I don't know that you're going to see any bills in reaction to this. But let's remember, earlier this session, we had a bill that was going to move oil and gas wells back 1,000 feet from school property lines. The distance now is 1,000 feet from school buildings, but not from property lines. And that became just a hailstorm on both sides. It eventually was killed by Republicans in the Senate. I can only think you're going to see more of that next year as people are now going to start sounding the alarm bells, whether or not, frankly, this has a direct link to the oil wells. The other question, though, that's got to come up at some point is we continue down here at the Capitol to talk about how far oil and gas wells must be moved back from property lines. I wonder if at this point somebody is going to propose a bill, or at least in local authorities propose a law saying, hey, maybe new houses have to be moved back a certain distance from previous or existing oil and gas wells also.
Ed brings up a good point that a lot of people may not recognize. Right now, oil and gas companies cannot build a well closer than 500 feet to an existing home. Here in Firestone, we had a development that was built after the well was already in existence, and it was less than 200 feet. So like Ed said, that will be interesting to see if local jurisdictions set a minimum there for new developments.
Yeah, enter a new conversation into the ever-evolving oil and gas debate in Colorado. You know, there was already some hard questions asked about whether the state should be regulating where developers can build around these sort of wells. And considering how hard the construction defects debate was in the legislature this year, I'm not sure how that's going to go when you start to add additional regulations if they choose to go in that direction.
Peter, how does this change the argument from supporters of the oil and gas industry, including the governor and a lot of people in the industry? They do feel it's pretty safe. It adds a lot to our economy, creates high-paying jobs. Some people paint the picture of the anti-fracking folks, and this wasn't being fracked. It was a vertical well, but still pointing to the anti-oil and gas folks as, hey, you're just a little bit
crazy. I mean, I think that's what the, you know, like supporters of the industry has been like, oh, you people are nuts. Like, obviously we're not going around killing people. If there's a direct link here, it's going to be a hard thing to say from now on.
But it's funny that this comes, not funny, it's kind of ironic that this comes at the same time that one of the leading fractivists in the state recently penned a letter to the Boulder Daily Camera suggesting frackers should be killed. So the debate only goes downhill from here.
Ed Seelover with the Denver Business Journal and Peter Marcus with ColoradoPolitics.com. I'm Benta Berkland, and this is Capital Conversation.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.